Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that he shed. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, who brings all things to our remembrance, Father. Holy Spirit, we ask you to use us as an instrument tonight to speak to your people. Let them know exactly what you want them to hear. Reveal to them what you want them to know. Give them eyes that they see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to them. We want to know the mind of God on this situation. We thank you and praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Let's go to one of our base scriptures. We always read one of our base scriptures over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've given you at least four base scriptures. I've given you Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I've given you Ephesians 2:19 and 20, Ephesians 4 and 11. And also 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Beginning at verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues." Turn your booklet, your Culture of Honor booklet. We're going to read a few notes out of the Culture of Honor tonight so we at least know we're using the booklet. And on page 60 in your booklet, and see some of the things that the author says about this government that God has set up and why it's functioning the way it's functioning. Beginning at the top of the page, it said, "We've empowered the wrong portion of the list in 1 Corinthians 12 to be the primary leaders, and the reasoning behind this decision is not spiritual, but earthly." Over in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 through 8, he warns us against this practice of putting earthly wisdom into our lives. Remember, we are bringing earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom into the earth. But by us putting the wrong end of God's government in place, we've put earthly wisdom in God's kingdom and try to operate God's kingdom with earthly wisdom. Here in James chapter 3, verse 13, and he wrote the scripture out in the booklet here, so we'll read it straight from there. It said, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." When we go back and look at when God decided he was going to reestablish his government in the earth realm, when we look at Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7, in that scripture, one of the things that Jesus was called at that time, he was called the Prince of Peace. And so he, since he was called the Prince of Peace, and he said he was going, his peace that he was going to reestablish in this earth, and of that peace there should be no end. We've also said that peace that we are talking about is where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. When heaven is the model of for our culture, the primary result is peace. Peace is the goal of heaven, because it is the primary quality of the government of God. It is the primary quality of the government of God, where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. But the disordered forms of government to which we've all become accustomed create not peace, but control, which is their intended goal. Man has the opposite goal of heaven. Earth's leadership structure is motivated by the desire to protect the rule of those who are in office. When we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, we've stepped off the path of the wisdom from above. So when we do that, we've stepped off the path of the wisdom from above. And one of the things that we are reestablishing in the earth realm is we are bringing heaven back to earth. God's government, as we set up that government, the purpose of God's government being established in the earth is that heaven comes to earth. God told his disciples, and Jesus told his disciples, when they began to pray, he told them to pray. Over to Matthew, he said, pray, our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed, holy is thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we want to focus on that. We want to think about that constantly. The whole purpose is this paradigm shift, this government, this apostolic paradigm shift that we're making is so that we can bring the heaven to earth. And that's the purpose of the apostle. We're going to find out as we go into the study of the apostles tonight. We're going to break it out into the apostle. We're going to find out his main role is to make sure some of the, his goals, his characteristics is to make sure that we get heaven to earth, heaven's purpose here in the earth realm. To see the seriousness of doing things according to human reasoning rather than heaven's, we need only remember one of the strongest rebukes in the gospel, the rebuke Jesus gave to his good friend Peter. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 16 and we'll see what happened over here. In the church, what we have done is try to establish earthly government in God's kingdom. And it does not work. When we do that, what we get the results of that government, which is then we see none of the supernatural that we should be expecting. We see none of the miracles that we should be expecting. And many times we don't even see prayers being answered the way God said they answer, because God has promised us in his word. He said, you know, if you ask me, he said, I will give it to you. And so we are asking, but we are not receiving. And if we go back and look at a scripture in 1 John and 5 and 14, 15, it says, "Say if you ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then those petitions that we ask of him, we know that we have them." So if we ask according to his will and according to his government, the way he has it set up, then we can get assured of getting an answer from what we ask God. So over here in Matthew chapter 16, this is rebuke that Jesus gave Peter. In beginning from verse 21, it says, "From that time forward began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, he said, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So in the kingdom of God, we cannot savor the things that be of men, but we must savor the things that be from God, the things from that are from heaven. We must expect heaven to come to earth. In that scripture, he said, Jesus turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have the mind, have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." It was not one of Peter's finest moments, but it is a clear word to all of us watching. Heaven is a model, not earth. So we have to know that heaven in the kingdom of God, which we are in, the kingdom of God, that heaven is the model and not earth. Now, so what we're going to do now, we're going to look at some at the apostles, and we're going to look at this apostolic ministry. And we're going to see some of the key points in the apostolic ministry. We're going to see some of the characteristics of this environment and this culture. In this apostolic, Paul becomes our example, which we're going to use. He was one of the first ones that we use. The Apostle Paul said, refers to himself as the master builder. Over in 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. And again, we go back and we can reference back to our scripture in Ephesians 2. And what it says is that you're no more strangers or foreigners, but you're fellow citizens of the household of God. And it's built up. This kingdom is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So here the Apostle Paul is saying that he is now, the God has made him the master builder in the kingdom. After Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ laid the foundation, and then the master builder come and build up on that foundation. In this scripture, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking at verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So if he's saying wise, it's not earthly wisdom that he's using. We have to realize that it is kingdom, godly wisdom that he's using. And so he said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, he said, I have laid the foundation and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there we got the foundation, and then we come and we build up on that foundation. The apostles has been made the master builders in the kingdom of God upon what Jesus began to establish here in the earth realm, which is God's kingdom. And so the Apostle Paul said they made him the master builder. And what happened is, along with the blueprints, the anointing of the apostle contains a quality that stimulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointings in the people around him. So what he got, again, we go back, look at Ephesians 4 and 11, and it said God gave gifts unto men when he ascended on high. He gave gifts unto men. He said he gave first apostles, he gave prophets, and he gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And so what happened, he put his anointing in those gifts. And when he put those anointings in those gifts was to give that anointing and pass it off to the body of Christ. For what? For the maturing of the saints, first of all. For the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, and when it comes out, you can do the exact same thing that the apostles do, because he's going to heaven, and he's bringing heaven to earth, but he's also imparting that anointing, those graces that God has put in him, and he's imparting it to the body of Christ. And so, he said, as those apostles begin to manifest, as those around the apostles begin to manifest their own unique anointings, it creates an environment of subcontractors who help the master builder to realize the blueprints of heaven. And so as we are operating under this apostolic anointing, everybody who's under that apostolic anointing, their goal is to bring heaven to earth. And so as we are beginning to make this paradigm shift, the things that the apostle expects and sees in the realm of the spirit, we're going to be able to do and function the exact same way as the apostles. We're not apostles, but the same thing that the apostles are doing and what he expects, we can expect to do the same thing. Perfect example, if you turn to the book of Acts, you can see what happened over here. Turn to Acts 6 first, and we can see these these men that God appointed, that they appointed as ones to wait on the people. In Acts 6, beginning at verse 1, like I said, we'll see a many repetition because the scripture is non-ending. It can also, it can go back and show you it's open, it's vast. And so you can use scripture to show examples throughout any teachings that we have. So here in Acts chapter 6, it says, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose the murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, that was the 12 apostles, called the multitude of the disciples. Those are the ones who are being taught and trained in the things of God. Disciples. Disciples are learned ones. Unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. What are the apostles and the prophets are doing? They constantly seeking heaven. They're seeking to heaven. They're praying to God, finding out what it is that we need here on earth. What we expect in heaven so we can bring that to earth. That's the apostles' goal. So he's spending all of his time seeking God, praying. And so it says that it's not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3 says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of earnest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, we talked about that last week in the whole class. I didn't mean to go the whole class on that, but we end up going the whole class because he had told us not to leave Jerusalem until we receive that. So we have to understand that it is the Holy Ghost ministry. He's the administrator in the thing, in the kingdom of God. The only way we can get through that is the Holy Ghost have to bring us and show us through that. So we have to understand. So he said, look out. He said, please. He said, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and they gave some other names in here. But the statement I made is saying, and those around the apostles began to manifest their own unique anointings. It creates an environment of subcontractors who help the master builder to realize the blueprints of heaven. And so here in Acts, it's a verse 8, 6 and 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was not an apostle, but the apostolic anointing had come off on him. And when the apostolic anointing came off on him, the same thing that the apostles was doing, they could do also. So we are establishing an apostolic anointing, an apostolic ministry. And so we're setting the government up the way God set it up from the beginning. And as we set the government up where God set it up from the beginning, all those who fall under the apostolic anointing, the same things that the apostles, they are not apostles, but the same things that the apostles are doing, they can do also. If the apostles, you see signs and wonders, then it should be signs and wonders in your life also. That's why Jesus could say when he said, the works that I do shall ye also do, and greater works. And because he know that he set the government up, and if he followed the government the way God set it up, then the works that he was doing while he was on the earth, we can do those exact same works. Are we seeing the works? No. The government has not been established work way it should have been set up, because we basically set up man's government. This is something God is doing right now. He's reestablishing his government in the earth realm at this time. And so, again, you just feel good that God has put you right in the middle of something that he's doing right now in the earth realm. And so you to continue to pray and seek the Holy Ghost. I know I'm in the right place because this is where you want me to be. Let's look at another scripture over here. That was Stephen. Yeah, like I say, he looks out and he's see that anointing. Here's another one of those who God called to be waiting on tables. Over here in Acts 8, and 26. It said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all our treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esau the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and say, Understand thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and the lamb dumb before his shearer to open he his not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away from him. And he who should declare this generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He was called to be a table waiter, but that anointing came up on him, that apostle's anointing. We're going to find out that Philip also, as he was ministering the word and teaching the word, he also signs and miracles was following him, the same thing that the apostles was doing. It say, as some of the apostles, as they passed by, it say even their shadows, people was getting healed. And so the government was set up the way God set it up, and so the results that they should be getting was coming to pass. And verse 37 says, Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. So he was translated. He was transformed. He said that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in the cities till he came to Caesarea. And so, what am I saying? As that anointing, as that apostle anointing, you're sitting under that apostolic anointing. And so that same anointing that's on the apostle is going to come off on you. And the results that he received, you're going to receive the same results. Some of the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. And those who are members of Word Life Christian Center, they can see some of the characteristics in full manifestation. One of the main characteristics of an apostolic environment, it focuses on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, miracles, signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily life. Normal. That's just like normal, like breathing. So that becomes our everyday affairs. So, you know, we can begin to expect signs. We can begin to expect wonders. We're talking about a supernatural environment under God's government. We are not doing it, but God himself is doing it. But we have the government set up right, and then God can do the work. We're teaching on having God's presence in operation. And the apostle was ministering a couple weeks ago, and one of the things he said, when you get God's presence, you don't just get God. You don't get God by himself. You get all of God's attributes, everything. When he comes in, God, when he comes, his presence comes, he comes with all of his provisions. He comes with all of his protections. He comes with all of his power. And he also comes with his plans and purpose. So he brings those in with him when he comes. And so as we begin to worship and praise God, expecting God's presence to come on the scene, then that's when God's presence is on the scene, is when you want to make your request unto God. Find out, you want to know, let God know what it is you need at that time. That's when you want to talk to him. That's why it's so important for the apostle, as he is ministering, is to make sure that God's presence comes first, before anything else, before any word comes, before any anything else comes, that God's presence on the scene. And we begin to do that by praising and worshiping God. The apostle right now is teaching on worship and teaching us how to worship. And he's saying that worship is more important than prayer. Because when you begin to worship, you're bringing God on the scene. And when God comes on the scene, then you can get your answer. You can probably get your answer quicker than in worship than you can in prayer. Because one of the things he told us, and you know, actually these things stick out, because I always say when the man of God is ministering, when he's talking, no matter how many people is in the congregation, he's always talking directly to me. And so when I hear a word, that's the word that God has given to me. So he said, when you're in worship, Satan can't come to worship. He was a worshiper. But once you begin to worship God, then Satan can't come in that area. So you've eliminated him totally. And you got direct conversation with God when you're worshiping him and praising God. And so that was a good word for me. I know that as long as I'm praising and worshiping God, then the enemy can't come. You know, John 10:10 and tell us that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when I begin to praise and worship God, I know I've eliminated that part that says steal, kill, and destroy. I got the part that has that abundant life. And so I'm getting that abundant life in me. Amen. He said the apostolic environment focuses on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, miracles, signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily life. The apostolic role is not designed to address directly the people and the needs of the people. It is not that they don't care about the people. The apostolic, the apostle has to have freedom to pursue heaven if he or she is going to be effective one to fulfill an apostolic call. So they have to have freedom. That's why the apostles called those young men to go and wait on those widows so that they can have freedom to pursue heaven so that they can find out what it is that heaven wants and bring that to earth. Worship and supernatural activity. This is some of the notes in the Bible. Some of the in your booklet. You can read over those characteristics. They're on page 62 in your booklet. I have them here outlined also. Worship and supernatural activity are priorities in their environment and the lifestyle of the saints because God's presence is the top priority. That's one of the key characteristics. The saints are sent, as Jesus was, to destroy the works of the devil, including disease, sickness, and affliction. The saints are sent, as Jesus was sent, to destroy the works of the devil, including sickness, disease, and affliction. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Looking at verse 8. It says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned it from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so if he's going to destroy, we know what the devil is comes for. Again, it's to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if the Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, we're in the kingdom of God, then we have to be able to do the exact same thing. The works of the devil is oppression, depression, sickness, disease, lack, poverty. All those are works of the devil. And so, again, none of that is in heaven. And so as we are learning this apostolic environment, this paradigm shift that we're beginning to do, the works of heaven is going to come into the earth, at least in the children of the kingdom of God. Again, you're not citizens of another kingdom. You're citizens of the kingdom of God. And so if we are citizens of the kingdom of God, there are certain rights and privileges that comes with being citizens, just like we're citizens of the United States in the natural, and there are certain rights that comes with being citizens of the United States, and the same thing in the kingdom of God. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and those benefits that we talk about, that the Bible talks about, we are, these benefits are for us. He showed them to us, and we should be able to acclimate them. We should be able to bring them into our everyday life and have them work in our lives. Again, I said the saints are sent as Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil, including sickness and disease. We know that Jesus was sent. Turn to John chapter 12. You know, I mentioned a couple classes ago that in the things of God, you must be sent in order to, instead of went. When you went on your own. But when you're sent by somebody who's given you authority to do what he not only has he given you authority to do it, but he also has given you power to carry out those acts that he sent you to do. So here in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 44. Jesus is speaking here. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." He's saying that if you believe on me, then you're not believing on me, but you're believing on the one that sent him. We know that the Father sent him to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came here, to destroy the works of the devil. So the Father sent him here to do it, and he gave him authority to do it. And also, not only did he give him authority to do it, he gave him power to do it, to carry out those acts. One other scripture I need you to see. There was Mark chapter 3. You say, well, how do I get there? How am I in it? Well, first of all, we're in there because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're in the kingdom of God. Once we did that, once we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, believed on him, believed that God raised him from the dead, then we was in the kingdom. And so now everything that the kingdom points out or shows to us, the Holy Ghost directs us, a teacher get up and show you, then he points you in that direction, then we go to Holy Ghost and he'll reveal it to us. Here in John, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "And he ordained 12, that was the 12 apostles, first of all, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." So here they are, they're with him. They are in the kingdom. They know some things, but he had to send them forth. Watch what he says here. He says, "And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils." To heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. So that, you know, what we're seeing here is that there's a kingdom of darkness, which brings sickness and disease against us, and there's a kingdom of God which brings life to us. And in order for the kingdom of God to operate, we have to cast out the kingdom of darkness so we can bring in the kingdom of light into us and the kingdom of God into us. The saints live to demonstrate to all the people on the earth that God is always the good guy and the devil is always the bad guy. God is always good. Satan is always bad. We have to understand it. In the kingdom of God, we have to know that. Mark chapter 16. So we have, as believers, we have an adversary. And in that adversary, we have to know that we have the power and authority to cast him out. Mark 16:15, it says, And he said unto them, Jesus sent out the disciples again. And he said unto them, let's go back up to 14. Let's look at verse 14, Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It looked like every time we start talking about the supernatural and the kingdom of God, sickness always crops its ugly head up somewhere. And so sickness is a big problem in the kingdom of God. The enemy, he's not after the individual, but his reproach, he want to put reproach on God. And so when he puts sickness and disease on a believer, his thing is to point to that individual. I put that sickness on you, and God can't do anything about it. And so, but we in the kingdom of God have to know that we have the power and the authority to overcome these things. He said in Luke 1 over there, when he was talking about Mary, he said, with God, all things are possible, all things. That means that there's no sickness or no disease that cannot be cured by the power of God. And so it said, and it also said, at the name of Jesus, it said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That means that if it has a name, then at the name of Jesus, that thing would have to bow at the name of Jesus. So any sickness, any disease that comes up, in the name of Jesus, we should be able to eliminate that in the kingdom of God. And so God said, we are to destroy the works of the devil. And when he said we destroy, that means that if it has to do anything with the devil, then we should be able to eliminate it. So in the kingdom of God, God said, I sent my manual to you. I want you to know what you have here. I want you to know what power you have. And the only way you're going to know is someone have to come in and teach it to you, explain it to you, and then you have to not just hear it, but you got to begin to do it. James said you got to be not just a hearer of the word, but you got to be a doer of the word. So if we just come in here and hear this word, and someone come up to us and they ask us to pray for them, we have to know that we have the ability, the power, and the authority to lay hands on them, and they should recover. We're not doing it, but the power of God that's on the inside of us is doing it. So, and it's by faith that we do it. So when we do something, when we lay hands on the sick, we do it in faith. God says, without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We who come into God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So we know that God is on the inside, like Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm not doing the works. He said, the Father who's in me is doing the work. And so if we have faith that he's in us, then when we lay hands on the sick, then the sick have to recover, because that's our attribute of the kingdom of God. God is showing us in many places. That's his attributes. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Again, the saints live to demonstrate to all the people on earth that God is always the good guy and the devil is the bad guy. Here in Matthew chapter 28, basically the same thing that Mark, he said over in Mark, but he said it a little bit different. Mark said it one way, and Matthew said it this way. Beginning at verse 18, 28 and 18. Here in 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So what has he done? He brought that power that was in heaven, and he brought it to earth. And so Jesus operated in all fivefold ministry gifts that we call. And so then he told us the works that he do, that we do also, and greater works, because he go to the Father. So what he's done, he sent us a helper. He sent us another comforter here, to bring down here, to help us do the same works that he did while he was here. But we, like I said, we have not been taught that we can do it. We have not clearly understood that we can do it. And then sometimes we just refuse to believe that we can do it. But we have to begin to know that we have the power. God said, all power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he tells them, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's all people on the face of the earth. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. So he's with us to carry out the kingdom of heaven here on earth. He said, I'll go with you even until the end of the earth. So I'm with you. If you decide to do it, he said, you already got all power. All power has been given unto you in heaven and in earth. So we have the ability to carry out heaven here on the earth. One more scripture, and then we're going to see some more notes here. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7. I made the statement. I said the saints live to demonstrate to all the people on earth that God is always the good guy, and the devil is always the bad guy. Luke chapter 7. Let's start reading at verse 19. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us. So they were sent to receive something from Jesus. Yeah, like I said, y'all, when you go, you always go, and you have to be sent for a purpose. He said, and John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Verse 21 says, and in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. He said, at that very moment, at the time that they came to him and asked him, are you the one, or shall we look for another? Remember I said, we have to have a conviction that Jesus Christ modeled the Christian life for us. We have to have that in our hearts, in our spirits, that if he modeled it for us, he was the example which God sent that we can do this. Jesus Christ himself came as a man on the earth, in the earth. He didn't operate. He laid his power, his Godship, he laid all that aside, and he operated as a man in the earth. And so what he was doing, he was giving us an example that the same thing that he did as a man, we also can do it as a man. But he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to do that. He said, but I've also sent the Holy Ghost to you, that you can also do it. You have to know that I've done that. Here, let's go a little bit further in the scriptures here. He says in verse 21, verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto them, he said, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Remember when Jesus received this ministry over in Luke 4:18? It says, for God has anointed me. And he began to give those points on why God anointed him. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal those who was wounded, to bring out the oppressed. So what, is he the one? Yeah, he's the one, because he told him. He didn't tell him that he was the one. He said, go back and tell him what you see. That is a witness. In Acts 1:8, say, you shall see power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you should be witnesses unto me, and he said, in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That means that the things that Jesus done while he was on the earth, those same things that I've seen manifested in the kingdom of God, seen believers do those exact same things. So if he give me power to be a witness, that's my witness. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen blind eyes see. I've seen deaf ears hear. I've even seen the dead raised, because I am a witness to what Jesus did right here on earth. But I don't do it in my power. I do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who does the work. Jesus said, I don't do the work, but he who's in me. Turn to John. Let's see what he says over here. The Word of God says, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Chapter 14, John 14:10. It says, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So he's saying, the same Father that's in Jesus is the same Father that we have in us. And so if we get to the point that we know that it's not us who are doing the work, the Father that dwelleth in us is doing the work. He said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. That means that the works that I'm doing here on the earth, when I lay hands on the sick, when I put mud on an individual's eyes and he begin to see, I'm not doing the works. The Father who's in me is doing the works. And so we have, in this apostolic anointing, this apostolic environment that we are setting up, it said for the maturing of the saints, we're maturing the saints so they can go out and work the ministry. We have to work the ministry. We have to build up the body of Christ. That's the whole purpose of these fivefold ministry gifts. We have to build it up. He goes on to say in verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, we are believers, it's in us to believe. We came into the kingdom by believing. In Romans, say, but what is it? That the word is not thee, even in our mouth and in our heart, as the word of faith that we preach, that we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, is that we are saved. So when we're saved, we come into the kingdom. We have salvation, which is healing. It's an all-encompassing word. Salvation is healing, soundness of mind, prosperity, all that comes in that one word. So all that comes with us into the kingdom of God. We have a right to those things. And so because we have a right to them, we should receive them. He said, verily I say, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, verse 12, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 12, John 14:12. Meditation verse for this week, John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. That's the last scripture. That's the end of the class. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father. Father, we thank you that you're opening our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, giving us a heart to understand, and giving us faith to act on what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.